Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 47, for July 3rd, 2007. That's our shooby. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you once again this week by the good folks at Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. It's time for MacBreak Weekly. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, freed from the tyranny of the iPhone, we talk about the Mac with Scott Bourne of the ApplePhoneShow.com. hey, Scott.
Hi.
Great picture of you in the San Francisco Chronicle. Who was it that said it should be called Born Again?
Dane said that. Dane. But, you know, I'll tell you some secret about that picture. I'm holding the iPhone bag really high, and there's a reason for that. There's no iPhone in it.
Oh.
I quickly did some sleight of hand and put the iPhone in a Safeway grocery bag
in case
there are anybody out there trying to steal my iPhone.
Oh, that's very funny. Very clever of you. Yep. Nobody did, by the way. So you're safe. Alex Lindsay is here. Actually, he was more afraid that Merlin Mann would blow up his iPhone. We'll get to that in a second. Alex Lindsay is also here from thepixelcore.com. Hey, Alex.
How's it going?
And Merlin Mann of 43folders.com and The Merlin Mann Show, who says, for more information about the iPhone, consult the internet. He's done with the iPhone.
I'm glad that the story is out there. There's finally some information I can follow up, find a little about how this works. I'm really glad to see I can finally learn how people are enjoying it.
Not at all tempted to run out and get one. You still can. I think the Staten Island Apple store still has two or three left.
Well, it's funny. After we had finished our show we did on Friday, I learned that a bunch of friends of mine had gone out to have a drink and at House of Shields. And as a group, all walked straight into the Apple store and like 5 minutes later walked out with iPhones, entire group.
There was no reason to wait in line, as it turned out. But it was fun to wait in line.
It's the new impulse buy for sure.
That's a big impulse buy. A number of different reports of how many iPhones that were sold over the weekend, but they're all around 500,000 to 700,000. The most credible seems around 700,000. Is that right, Scott? That's amazing.
Yeah, more than $250 million worth of revenue in one weekend for the kind of people that keep track of that sort of thing. That will not all book to the same quarter. Apple's decided to split that up over quarters, and they're also taking some of that revenue, according to Sarbanes-Oxley, over a 24-month period, so they don't get in trouble. But bottom line is, they made a bunch of money, and the stock's up almost $6 today.
They're making, according to some, they're making about $300 or $400 a phone, so that's some good bucks.
And they're making money on every single AT&T contract.
Yeah, that's a good day for Apple, and that's why the stock is up. It went down briefly, but not for very long. There was a little profit-taking, but boy, people clearly think Apple's got more in the stock there.
200.
200. That's our new prognosis from the man who ought to know, because he's pumping it up right now.
When I called 100, everybody said, pshaw.
Well, it's true. It's true. Let's see. I just want to make sure that we don't leave out any major iPhone stories. We're not going to do an all iPhone show. We've kind of done that. Kevin Rose says his iPhone has been rebooting all day. 15 times it's rebooted. So I think the next sound you hear will be iPhone problems and woes. But you'd expect that with any machine that sells that many units, there's going to be some bad ones. I'm sorry, it's Kevin Rose that's suffering from that.
Have you guys actually had your iPhone reboot?
Not at all.
Never. Yeah.
It's very hot right now. I wonder if it has to do with heat. Mm. It doesn't have a huge heat tolerance. I mean, the operating range Apple specifies is fairly narrow.
113 is the top end.
Yeah. So yeah, if you were in a hot car or, you know, it was a hot room, I guess it could have problems. Yours has had problems, Alex?
I kept on thinking, I was talking to Merlin about this earlier. I kept on thinking that my phone was, that I was hitting some button with my Safari because I'd end up back in the main page. And someone told me that that's actually Safari, you know, rebooting.
Oh,
you know, it's crashing.
It was crashing.
So it would suddenly, because I, there's been, and that happens, it's been happening, I have to admit, for me, every, like, two or three times a day, where I'll be surfing away, and then suddenly I end up back in the main area with all the icons.
Oh, that's
and
a crash,
I figured I was, yeah. I figured there's some button that I'm hitting or something that I'm pushing and stuff like that. But someone told me, oh, that's actually Safari rebooting. Now what happens is when you get back to Safari, it's back to the page that you were at. That's why I didn't even think of it as a crash.
So it remembers where it was.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's a pretty minor thing, but I think that was about it. But otherwise, I think it's.
I've had some slowdowns, but it hasn't crashed. It's been pretty reliable. Occasionally, it'll kind of stall out and start thinking. No beach ball. Apple is smart enough not to put the beach ball in this one. Very, very wise.
I think my biggest thing is making sure that my finger's moving when I go to scroll. Otherwise, I start selecting a whole lot of stuff I don't want to select.
That's a good point. That's a good idea. Yeah. When do you think we'll see a? Firmware update. I know there's one in the works. There's got to be.
There's got to be one in the next week or two.
What day is it?
It's Tuesday. Why? You think it'll be this week?
Oh, maybe tomorrow.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I bet it'd be really quickly.
Yeah, there's probably lots of little things they want to tighten up.
Like spelling Leo's name.
I don't know if you guys saw this. There's a guy who made a backpack.
All right. Message received.
Have you guys seen that yet? He can put stuff in it. He wears it on his back.
Out of an iPhone?
No. It was a Mac SE.
SE.
But, you know what? Though, that's a great idea to make a tiny.
To make one out of the iPhone.
Maybe you can make a wallet out of your iPhone. That would be a twist.
You just take the guts out, put some money in there.
It's the opposite of that phone guy.
So yeah, exactly. Universal Music there may be a little trouble in paradise. Universal Music is apparently saying they're not going to do a long-term deal with Apple. At first, the rumors were it wouldn't do a deal at all with Apple. Now they're saying maybe a short-term deal. What's going on with Universal? Does anybody know here?
Well, it sounds like they're on a month-to-month. They've been on a month-to-month for a while. And so nothing's changing. They're just simply saying they're not willing to be tied down into a longer a relationship.
What would a record company do, though? Would they just say, okay, you can't sell our stuff anymore, and it would be off iTunes?
But I think that they want some leverage.
That seems counterproductive. That seems so dumb.
Yeah, well, the money that they've been making is not inconsiderable. I mean, it isn't like they have the leverage to just say, well, we're going to show you. You can't carry our stuff anymore. That just sounds crazy to me.
I think that what they're trying to do is get some kind of leverage in the thing that they want to be. Once they sign a contract with Apple, there's not another conversation they can have for another year or two.
Right.
You know, so they're in the contract, they're in the relationship. I think they probably get better prices on the songs when they're in a longer term contract. But I think that they want to be able to say, we'd like to come back and talk about this every month, because they're really they're concerned that they're losing control, and they're right.
And it's the big, from what I've been hearing, the big concern is the lack of flexibility in pricing, that they want to see higher prices on more recent hits.
That's one of the things that the record labels have wanted for a while. And maybe they just don't like the idea of being digital. I mean, I think there's still some discomfort with the idea of putting music online, even though it's got DRM.
I think what they're really concerned about is they don't like the idea of being digital and having only one reseller be 80% of the market.
Right.
And that reseller being someone who just tells them the way it's going to be.
But talk about shooting yourself in the foot. I mean, if you pull yourself off iTunes, you're basically saying, steal this song.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, I think that if someone doesn't put something up on iTunes, they're just asking for people to go find it somewhere else.
Right.
You know, the other side of this conversation is they take it pretty hard from Walmart and places like that. They do whatever Walmart tells them to do, because that's the largest physical retailer. If they think they're going to set the rules at iTunes, they better be prepared to try to do it at Walmart. It's just stupid if you're looking at the revenue they take in from this relationship. There's no way. I mean, Steve Jobs knows they're just bluffing, because they're walking away from millions of dollars if they say no.
iTunes is big enough now that it really is one of the – it's like in the top five, right?
For number three.
Of all retailers.
Catching up the other two. I mean, I think it would be totally reasonable to think that Apple could move to number two next year and number one by 2009.
Well, that's where I buy all my music. I'm not crazy about the DRM, but you know, it's the devil you got to deal with. There are other choices. In fact, I keep getting these cryptic mail. It'll happen tomorrow if it happens. I've mentioned it on Twitter. I haven't mentioned it elsewhere. It's llama mail. Anybody getting llama mail? It's handwritten letters
from a llama.
Well, they've got a little llama stamp on it, and then I got an origami llama, and all the early mail kept doing is pointing to a website, theendisthebeginning.org.
Buzz marketing.
It's very good buzz marketing, but now I see it's a music deal, and now I remember that Winamp's all about llamas, right? So I just got, and I know it's going to happen tomorrow because they're talking about 747, and I just got the Declaration of Musical Independence.
Winamp, huh? That'll be great. That'll work great on your Zune phone.
The major record labels have over... Well, it's from the... I think it's from the Winamp people. But remember, they didn't just do Winamp. They did Nutella.
Yeah.
They're peer-to-peer people. Here's the facts. The major record labels have overcharged the public for years, demanding huge margins and earning massive profits. They've used their effective monopoly to demand and secure contracts, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like it's going to be an alternative. We, therefore, the representatives of Music Thing and signers of this declaration, do solemnly publish and declare the status quo to be absurd, unacceptable, and no longer in the best interests of the... So I don't know what this is going to be, but it's going to probably launch tomorrow. It's kind of interesting. I hope they support Max. I'll tell you, I think they do, because all of the marketing has people with iPods and llamas on the iPods. I'm thinking they're doing an alternative to the iTunes store.
Yeah, that's really worked well for everybody else.
But I mean for iPods.
It's interesting. Well, you know, that's the thing, though, personally, I wouldn't mind seeing iTunes as much as I love iTunes. I wouldn't mind seeing them
get some
competition that encourages them to keep doing the right thing.
Exactly.
You
know, I mean, if you're a monopoly.
That kind of monopoly. Oh, you see it happening. I mean, God bless them, starting to happen with Google, where you're kind of like praying that somebody's going to come along and give these guys a run for their money in at least one piece of what they do, so that you know, keeps them on track and improving the experience for their customer.
Go to theendisthebeginning.org. There's a picture of Mark Twain with an iPod on it, saying everybody talks about the music business, but nobody does anything about it. I think this might be interesting.
Now, can they actually put songs into the... Can you sync the songs with the iPod so that you can play them back and find them on the iPod? I don't know. I think that's something that iTunes does alone, doesn't it? I mean, you have to go through iTunes
there
in some way.
There is a Linux application. You can read the Declaration of Musical Independence at musicthing.org, by the way. There is an application for Linux that will sync the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like iTunes. It's the only choice if you're a Linux user.
So maybe they're doing something that would allow you to do that.
I can't read these signatures. It looks like Rob, Drew,
and the llama.
And
maybe we'll eventually hear from the llama lope.
The llama lope. Hey, congratulations to the Macalope, by the way, for getting a job.
Yeah.
Snagging a real job.
Yeah, I'd say hearty congratulations.
Losing all his street cred, but that's it.
Well, who cares about street cred? That and $1.50 will buy you a cup of coffee at 7-Eleven.
Good.
Go to the /images directory of musicthing.org.
Oh, you are... See, you're a hacker at heart.
Yeah, I'm really good at adding slashes to URLs.
/images,
they got three images in there. They've got the image of some little kids.
PayPal.
And they got a PayPal button.
And the share, I have that on my card. See, remember when it was nice to share? Mm-hmm. There's something going on. I don't know what it is.
Notice that it says MT instead of TM along the lines of copy left.
Well, or music thing.
Oh, look at you. Okay, I got it.
No, there's something
interesting.
There's something. They did this obviously on purpose. They put that PayPal logo there. So,
welcome to speculation, Brick.
Maybe it's just nothing. But they sure got me with this campaign. I've been getting mail from these people for months.
Did you USPS mail or
yeah,
email?
In my post office box.
Wow.
I thought, and it's handwritten from LA, and it's been very cryptic, but now it's starting to make sense. Tomorrow's the day. We'll find out.
Well, whatever their market was effective, because we've been talking about it for the last 5 minutes.
It's worked. Well, yeah, I'm the only one. But it's worked. It's worked for me.
I think they figured out we'll just send the letters to Leo.
He'll mention it. He's an idiot.
If you frustrate Leo, he'll go out and
talk about it.
What in the hell is this thing?
What is this? But maybe I'm stretching here, but I'm hoping that it'll be something to compete with iTunes, you know. Did you guys I guess participate is the wrong word, but the internet music blackout?
I totally didn't. I was so bad. I remember it was about 11 a.m. before I realized I'd been listening to the 1920 station for 2 hours. I was like, oh, I screwed up. Which, by the way, is the best thing in the iTunes streaming, far and away. Have you ever heard the 1920 station?
No.
You got to go to Eclectic under the iTunes radio area.
Oh, that's great.
And it's all like crazy music from like the 20s.
But apparently they didn't shut down.
No. I didn't do
it. Tens of thousands of it. Well, it wasn't just, it was the stations that were supposed to.
What about you,
shut
Scott? You're like the Thomas Edison of this crap.
That's true. He's the guy who started it all with net radio.
I did not participate in terms of, I didn't listen to any music. I usually listen to Pandora, and I didn't. And
no, the idea was that the radio stations would shut down, and then you would get in touch with Congress. Because, you know, we're only a week away from this deadline, or 2 weeks away from this deadline.
It's actually my congressman who's behind the bill, so I've been in touch with him for months, and I've motivated him as in the way that you can motivate politicians most, with a check. I'm
good.
Completely behind.
I thought you were going to say a picture of a hooker.
No. I'm completely behind the effort, and you know, I think if it doesn't succeed, there is no internet radio business. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. I know the numbers in this business. You can't make it work with the kind of money that they want.
Yeah, you're actually, that's just true. You speak with a lot of authority.
For once.
Yeah. Save. No. SaveNetRadio.org, the place to go to find out more about this. And it's not too late, but you should write to your member of Congress today, because it's just a couple. The deadline is July 15th. And that's,
you know, what's really funny about this, Leo, is back when I started Net Radio in the mid 90s, I called ASCAP, CSAC, and BMI to get licenses.
I said, what?
and what? Only CSAC worked with me on it. A guy named Bennett Linkhoff, I'll never forget him. He's like the only nice music lawyer I've ever met. But the guys at BMI and CSAC, they were like, yeah, whatever. We don't care, man.
Yeah, they care now.
They do.
They didn't figure it out at the time. They had no idea. They thought, nah, this will never go anywhere. I think that with Universal, you know, saying we're going to pull the plug, and I think a lot of people not liking the DRM on iTunes, this is a good time.
You know, Prince has given his music away with a newspaper.
And did you see the record label's response to that?
It wasn't the labels, it was the retailers. The retailers are going crazy. The retailers in the UK are just freaking out. And to the backstory, I guess, it's the Daily. Is that right? The Daily?
Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail. I think it's the Daily Mail that's distributing it. I think is it this Sunday or was it last Sunday? Or was it 2 days ago that they're distributing the entire album? I guess Prince's, his negotiations with his label or whatever label he was going to work with didn't go through. And so I guess this was the next round of what he can do with it.
Somebody said he's going to be the artist formerly known as a recording artist if he keeps this up. Dailymail.co.uk if you want to know about it. It'll be the 15th of July.
A lot of artists are starting to go this way. I mean, Thomas Dolby, you know, there are folks out there who are deciding they don't want to pretend to be part of any of this craziness.
But there is a point to be made. I mean, he's giving this CD away to who knows how many millions of people, and they're not going to buy it.
He's not giving it away for free. It's a promotional with the newspaper. So he's probably getting paid somewhere between.
He is getting paid.
Okay.
What? He's getting paid for it.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
This is the same, if you'll forgive the pun, the same tune we always have heard, which is that, like we said all along, these changes, at least in my opinion, are not going to damage the artist nearly as much as they damage the labels. Right. So labels are the ones that are going to take a hit on this. They're the ones who are fronting all the money in a lot of this. But, you know, if I was going to, like, go to the mattresses, it would not be against Prince, because that guy's a loose cannon with this stuff. He'll do whatever, you know? And
he doesn't need
respect
the money anymore. He's an artist,
I respect,
right?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who changed his name to a symbol to prove a point.
Right. No,
that means of distribution is apparently not unique. I'm copying here. I read this off Metafilter when the story first came out. But folks in England were saying it's not unusual at all to give away, you know, more like maybe like compilation CDs or holiday CDs or whatever inside a newspaper. It's not something we do a lot here, but apparently it's fairly common over there. It's not as common, I guess, for somebody of Prince's stature to do it, but... It's interesting because, I mean, he's taken a channel that people have done that with and doing something pretty wild.
Well, I think he's not too worried about making the retailers upset, because they're not, you know, they're kind of on the very low end of the food chain at this point. You know, I think that for most retailers that are selling CDs and stuff like that, unless they augment their market. They're not going to be around for another, you know, that they maybe have another 10 years.
Well, let's switch gears from audio to video. Download to DVD is expected to be an option both on Cinema Now and on the iTunes Music Store sometime soon. Movies that you buy on the iTunes Music Store, you'll be able to burn. This is something that actually has been worked on by the Motion Picture Association, the DVD Copy Control Association. They, I guess, figured out some way to control this. Is this something everybody wants? I don't think I'd really want to burn this low quality video to DVD. If I'm going to do that, I'll just
want to burn it to my DVD and then I'm going to rip it.
And you have to buy a special disc. Doesn't work with all DVD burners.
I've got a pretty up-to-date Mac, and I was really excited when I got my Mac Pro because I thought, okay, this is it. It's finally going to be really fast for me to burn DVDs. And it's not like burning a CD, that's for sure.
No.
You know, I would burn a CD. What's that stupid format that's real popular in Asia? The CD.
VCD?
Yeah, exactly. I would burn VCD, like an SVCD. Yeah. Before I would burn a DVD. I mean, first of all, they're more costly. They take forever to burn.
Well,
and an
frankly, SVCD would be the right quality level for the crap you're downloading.
I mean, that's right. I mean, me, I'm going the other way. I mean, I want stuff on my Apple TV the other day. Yeah, oh, exactly. Sure. But I mean, like, we wanted to watch A Wire the other night. It's like, oh, God, I haven't ripped this one. I've got to go get the DVD out. It was such a pain.
You just want to have it all in your... You know, I killed my Apple TV. I've been hacking it.
Oh, no. Did you get a brick? Did you brick it?
Well, I think I can get it back. You know, first thing, I was going to upgrade it to 120 gig hard drive. So you image the original. I have the original drive intact. I have the image of it, so I can always go back. But I'm trying to get a bigger drive, and I'm trying to put SSH on there so I can log into it and do all these hacks to it.
Weak knees, Leo. Weak knees.
Do they sell a drive you just pop in?
Dude. I think you can, I'll check it right now. I think you can send it to them.
No, but Apple is announcing that tomorrow you can buy the 120 gig version at the Apple Store.
But I'm not going to do that. I just want to pop in. You know, anyway, it's an easy thing to do.
You want to do it because you can.
Yeah,
you want to be able to do shells.
Part of my job is to learn this kind of stuff, and I want to be able to shell into it, and that's what I do. So anyway, I something went wrong. But yeah, you learn this stuff. That's how you learn it. And I'll work it out. Yeah, they
people
do it.
Can, these people can talk smack right. about the Apple TV, but I love mine. I love it.
Yeah. Here's another example, though, of a product, the Apple product that hasn't really taken off. But I think for the right audience, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't see any reason why I'd want DVDs. When we look at this burning to DVD, I'm just like, oh, I'm just happy.
Well,
to watch
the trick is to get the high quality video on there, but that's enough, right. You know, that's you got to be able to download it and convert it. Visual Hub is great for that. It'll convert it right to the iTunes.
Right.
So Weak Knees is selling a replacement 160 gig drive, professionally installed, $149, but they also sell the $400 160 gig Apple TV. So if you already have one, let's see, you paid $300, so it'd be cheaper to, if you haven't bought one, it'd be cheaper to buy a big one already, but if you already have one, you could upgrade it. I'm just doing it. It was $100 to get a new drive. It was cheap. I just have to do all the little finicky bits.
Is it a 2.5-inch drive?
Yeah. It's a little laptop drive. It's not, you know, it's slow, because you're imaging the drive using DD from the shell, and it takes 8 hours to image the drive.
Right.
It takes a long time. You just got to go home.
DD is that Mac only shell.
I think it's a Unix command, actually.
It's Unix? I thought it was Mac. Okay.
Is it? I know what you're talking about. There's one that copies the resource fork. And all
or
that.
Ditto. I'm thinking of Ditto. That's
Ditto
what
is the,
of.
That. Yeah, that's the one that copies the resource fork. I think DD's been around a long time. It's a disk imaging program. Data. It's stump data, I think, is what it stands for.
It's amazing how many technologies I one quarter understand.
Well, what's neat about, and this is one of the things I love about the Mac, is under the hood, you've got this power, you've got Unix. So you've got these commands like DD just lying around. I mean, one of the way you put shell onto the Apple TV is you copy SSH, the SSH daemon, SSHD, from your Apple where it lives onto your Apple TV. And it's still an OS X, so it works. I mean, and then you change the boot commands just as you would in Unix. It's very Unixy. And I either screwed up the boot commands or more likely I screwed up the drive format. So I'll fix it. It's fun. I like doing this stuff. It's just the reason it's a pain is because it takes 8 hours each time you want to reimage the drive. So it's kind of a long drawn out kind of process.
You get an hour to test it before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then you do it.
And then exactly. And then you have to go back. And the thing is, I'm doing it at the office. So I should bring it home and do it. It'd be easier. Let's see. There is there any Leopard news to talk about? Any Mac news? I hear rumors that this Pinch touchscreen interface might be coming out on a new MacBook Pro that will be one half the width of the existing MacBook Pros sometime in the fall. Does that make sense?
Are you pranking me?
No.
For real?
That's the rumor.
Wow.
Let me see where I can find that rumor. It's, you know, I mean, I don't read. The truth is, I no longer pay any attention to Mac rumors because I don't think anybody has, even Scott Bourne, really. Maybe Scott, but nobody besides Scott, even the Macalope, doesn't really know what's going on in those inside one infinite loop. I don't even think Steve Jobs knows what's going on inside one infinite loop sometimes.
You could write encyclopedias about what I don't know that's going on inside
one infinite loop. I think rumors are pretty much not trustworthy. Although
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Look at their track record, and you can see most of these rumor sites, you know, I'm sure they're publishing what they think to be true, but they're just often wrong.
Yeah.
It's like publishing a gambler's tip sheet, though. You don't need to be right. You know,
true.
You need
those
to be right.
Tip sheets. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, unlike everyone who seems to think that all of us in the world have evil intent, I don't think these guys have evil intent. I just think they're wrong.
No, I think that somebody said to them, hey, psst, you know, and they said, oh, and they publish it. Hey, coming up on Friday, the iPhone Developers Conference. I know, Scott, you're part of that.
Yeah, we're sponsoring it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Almost 300 people.
Is it just Friday or is it Thursday, Friday?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And is it going to focus on developing for Safari or something more?
It's going to develop. Yeah, they're going to talk about Safari and, you know,
so
Ajax
the
and all that
approved
cool stuff.
SDK.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a hackers conference. It's like, let's see what we can do with what they give us. And we're giving away an iPhone as part of the contest there to all the developers that participate have a chance to win that, along with numerous other prizes. There's a bunch of sponsors now. Adobe's here's what's interesting. It's being held at Adobe's Macromedia campus.
That's interesting. I'd love to see Air on the iPhone.
So you have to ask yourself the question, now why did Adobe agree?
Considering it doesn't support Flash or any other Adobe technology.
Exactly.
I
think it's because we're finally going to be able to have Photoshop on our phone. That's scratching an itch.
Scott's going to be mad at me. I went out and bought Lightroom instead of Aperture.
No, I'm not mad at you. I think Lightroom's a fine product. Each person, there's, you know, it's like there's no perfect product for everybody. Some people, that's a good thing.
I wanted end-to-end Adobe. I did. So we bought. I bought Jennifer a Canon 5D, and so
very nice.
I thought for her, oh, it's a great camera. But I thought for her, because she's Photoshop's way over her head. I thought Lightroom would be a good starting point for her to do simple adjustments and so forth.
Just be careful with the glass on that camera now, Leo.
Oh, it's expensive glass.
Want to get the good glass because
I did. I got the L lens.
Well, yeah, but you have to use nothing but L lenses because you've got a whole lot of resolution problem. There, actually, the thing that's interesting about this from a complete rat hole perspective is that the ability of the sensor in that camera to resolve horizontal line pairs actually exceeds the ability of most lenses to deliver them.
You're kidding.
No.
But the L lenses can handle it.
The L lenses can handle it.
Yeah, no. Somebody told a number of photographers told me just stay with the L. L stands for luxury. L should stand for losing all the money in your savings account. They're very expensive, but they're nice lenses.
That's the red stripe on the Canon lens.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. It was pricey, but you know the images I've seen coming off this thing are so stunning.
It's a great camera.
Resist. And my wife's a very good photographer, and I thought she deserved a better camera.
She must be a serious photographer then.
She's pretty serious, but she's been shooting a film, an OM-1 film.
Oh, geez.
And I said, you know, honey, you really... But she wants that kind of film experience, and I think that's the nice thing about the 5D. The only bad thing is it's big. It's heavy. Once you put the flash on it and the lens, she's a little girl. It's a big camera.
We're not talking point and shoot no more.
Ah, that's an awfully big camera for such a little girl. Bye bye.
I'm a big anti. I think I don't even know if the flash works on my Canon.
Well, this doesn't have the interesting thing about the 5D doesn't come with a flash. You have to buy a speed light.
I think mine's actually broken because I think I actually opened it for something like a couple months ago and realized it wasn't working anymore.
You don't use it.
I never use.
There's
ever.
An interesting thing, a little diffuser that somebody showed me that goes, you point the, first of all, it's a bounce flash, which is nice. You can point it up instead of the pop-up flash. So you can at least bounce it, and that helps. Mm-hmm. But if you point it straight up, there's this diffuser. It looks like a lampshade, a glass lampshade that goes
in. Speaking about the Fong light sphere.
It's amazing.
That's what you're describing. The Fong light sphere made by Gary Fong, well-known Los Angeles wedding photographer. And I have one of those right here in front of me.
It's pretty amazing what it does. I mean, it really diffuses all that harsh light that you get from flash. And it means that you've got good lighting. But
I'll tell you, that's like the $40 secret to the best pictures you'll ever take.
It makes a huge difference.
If you don't know squat about lighting ratios or any of that kind of stuff, get the Fong light sphere, throw it on your flash, and all of a sudden you look like a superstar.
Mm.
Well, I feel good that I've discovered this all by myself.
I'm so proud of you.
So, actually, I didn't. Somebody showed it to me, but it's it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
And did you get the white one or the clear one, Leo?
I haven't ordered it yet, but which one do you recommend?
You know, it
she had the white one, and it looked really good.
The white one is the one that I prefer, but the clear one works well too.
Yeah, and I got the 430 EX flash strobe for the Canon, so it fits that. So it should work pretty well. I'm excited. It's a little more camera than I can handle, but I'm hoping she will grow into it. Now that was a rat hole. I think for that, I think we need to really kind of step up here. At least it wasn't iPhone.
Yeah, doesn't that make us...
It's kind of an anti-rat hole.
But, you know, actually it was about Lightroom, which runs on a Mac.
Yeah, no, it was a Mac topic. I'm not saying that.
I bet Prince uses a Mac.
Doesn't Prince use a Mac?
You know, don't you think Prince would use a Mac?
I think
I'm going to bet he uses an Amiga.
Oh, that would be sweet.
Don't you? Yeah, see what I'm saying? Cool. I mean, that's the height of cool, right? Oh, yeah, I use an Amiga.
Probably
I
got a computer he made himself out of velvet.
Velvet computer.
Hey, speaking of computers that you made yourself, did you see the link I posted to the complete chart of the Apple?
Oh, that was really good. I saw it.
Apple Evolution.
The Evolution chart.
It's so pretty. I'd love to print this out. Can you buy this as a poster?
Yeah, I don't know, but we need to put that in the show notes so people can see it, because that is really cool.
We will. We have a new show note guy because John Foster quit in a huff. You know why he quit?
I can't imagine why.
I'll tell you why. He wasn't putting in links to any rumor sites that we mentioned. So if we mentioned something from a rumor site, he just wouldn't put it in. And I said, well, I appreciate that, John. I can't tell you how grateful I am that you're doing the show notes. I mean, I just want to let you know. I just really love that. Thank you. And I like this, you know, he's adding some personality and style to it. But I have to say, the whole point of the show notes is to put links in of all the stuff we mentioned. And he said, oh, all right, I'll try. And then he sends me an email the next day. He said, I couldn't do it. He said, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I can't include these links. Isn't that funny?
So who's our new show note taker?
I'm looking up his name right now. He's a nice kid who volunteered to do it for us. Well, I'm paying him, but a pittance. His name is Alex Guichet. And I think he's a high school student. He does a great job, and he doesn't mind including rumor links.
Your track record with high school students is pretty good. I tell you, I've been monitoring Shubi's Jaiku.
Isn't Shubi amazing?
Let me tell you, that kid is scary smart.
You know, he interns here.
Oh, he's working for you too?
Yeah, he works for
He's working for Justin TV, Pixel Core, and
he's
me.
Spreading around. Yeah, exactly. He's right in the middle of it all. And he does great work here.
He's a smart kid. Well,
very, very effective.
I'll tell you what happens. I can't take credit. Is these people find us. They listen to Twit, and they're very involved. And, you know, I can tell over time. We have many, many volunteers who help this show and help the podcast network. And, you know, I'm very grateful.
Did you see that when he was standing, I guess there was a whole issue when he was in line. There were some kids in Palo Alto that were messing with him.
Why? Because he was Shubi?
I don't know why they're messing with him, but I was I thought that he was up here at the Apple store, and I was going to go down and
we should have known about that, Alex. We could have taken care of that.
Well, I was like, yeah, I have a very quick way of handling this.
Were they messing with him like physically, or what were they doing?
I think they were threatening to mess with him physically.
He
here's
the
funny
in jeopardy,
thing: you look at Shubi, you don't think that he's you think that he'd be like
he's a black belt.
Come on,
they better not mess with him.
He's like, yeah, he's like, oh, come on, guy. That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And when I watch it, it's on Justin TV. Like, if you go to the archives or whatever,
oh, okay.
He's coming right back at him. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You
he's
know,
a just, martial like, artist. Okay. He can break bricks with his hand. I've seen him do it. They don't want to mess with Shuby. Trust me. You're right. He looks like just a kind of skinny kid.
He's the nicest kid in the world. Who would want to mess with
him? It was so funny to see him like really, you know, pushing these guys back, like lay off, man, you know. And it was
he's America's favorite high school junior.
I was like, that's our Shuby.
You know, if I had a 14-year-old kid, you know, I would want him to be like Shuby. I mean, he's perfect.
No kidding. He's 16, but okay.
Or 16, sorry. He was 14 when I met him, sorry.
That's the new, by the way, that's going to be the newest show on the NBC primetime schedule in the fall. That's our Shuby.
I thought it was going to be I bought a 14-year-old.
No. I don't want any rumors here. Shuby works far, far away from me. I don't have
that kid is wired. He's a great example of how old and confused I am, because he's updating more than I'm like doing anything. Oh, like he's getting so much done, and he's like an
A-plus student, AP everything.
I'm surprised.
He's over here working on shows.
I found my software pick of the week as a result of him.
All right. This is now the Shuby show.
you know, we're trying to talk about something other than you know what. So
I know, and it's so hard. It's really it's the elephant in the room. Yes, Shuby got an iPhone.
He did get one. Okay.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room. Let's talk briefly about hacking the iPhone. A couple of news stories about that. Somebody's cracked the iPhone root password.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's the word.
Hackintosh.org.
Yeah, they haven't been able to get anything happening with getting anything installed, but they were able to crack the password.
I think there are a lot of people working very hard to crack this. They've pulled the SIM chip. Turns out the SIM chip would work in another phone, by the way.
Another AT&T phone.
Yeah. Well, any phone, if it's unlocked, it becomes an AT&T phone when you put the SIM chip in it.
That's what I mean. It'll become an AT&T phone.
Somebody else, and I don't recommend this procedure, says you buy a pay-as-you-go plan, which you can do. I didn't know this with the iPhone. Cancel it immediately, but you got to activate it before you can do anything with the iPhone. It's a brick until you activate it. You can only make emergency calls. But once you activate it, you can then cancel that account, pop the SIM chip, or put a dummy SIM chip in. It will continue to operate as an iPod. It's an expensive procedure to get an expensive iPod, but
you still have Wi-Fi, and you still have just about everything other than being able to connect to the data or be able to make phone calls.
I have a feeling, though, that, I mean, you could do this, and tomorrow Apple could push an update that would kill it. So
I have to admit, it was kind of tempting when I looked at it. I was like, oh, because I don't really, I mean, but then I started realizing that I kind of like the idea of being able to, I've now been getting some phone calls, and I like being able to walk down the street and I get the phone call and I click on the little thing on my headphone and I answer it. And
yeah.
Back to what I'm doing. I hate to admit it, but
it's really growing on me. The more I use it, the more I like it. I mean, there's still those glaring things missing, but I'm confident Apple will add third-party support and other stuff. And meanwhile, it's still a pretty good phone.
I mean, the biggest thing I'm wrestling with the iPhone is mostly my antisocialness now, because
you're sealed in. Oh, I wear the headphones everywhere.
Well, it's not only that. It's that I'm just surfing all the time. You know, like I'm constantly.
You're
like,
always gazing at your navel, a.k.a. your iPhone.
I'm walking down the street and I'm surfing. I'm on the cable car and I'm surfing. I'm waiting for a movie and I'm surfing.
Edge, or are you using the Google net or what?
I'm using Edge when I'm walking around the street. I run by, if I'm anywhere near a T-Mobile, I'll use that because I have a T-Mobile account, which especially with the iPhone becomes extremely valuable. And, but the Edge is one of those things, like I'm not planning to go to YouTube when I'm on the Edge, but it really isn't that bad, at least in San Francisco. It may be bad.
But when
you
see like this Verizon Wireless, I just got the Verizon Wireless Evdo card, the new card, it's 5 megabits down. You could have had that.
Right.
And that's what's,
but I think the cost is really power consumption. That's what it sounded like.
They can't do it. I understand. But
because I do have to admit that I use it enough that I do have to be awake about charging it every night.
Yeah.
You definitely have to charge every night.
Yeah, I was skeptical because I've had many phones that play music and I never listen to music on it. And this really is such a good iPod that I actually do use it as an iPod. And then the phone functionality is great because, just as you say, Alex, you know, by the way, that if you, and I've been using the earbuds, I've never used the earbuds ever in my life, used the earbuds that came with an iPhone or an iPod, but I'm using, these are not bad. And if you press the microphone while you're listening to music, it pauses it, you know.
Yeah.
Which if you press it twice, it skips to the next song.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah, I found myself using them too, and I'm looking forward to the next group of accessories. Now, Alex, you got a problem, though. Your voicemail message is not in any way, shape, or form believable.
What is his voicemail message?
He says, well, I don't know how to check my voicemail. Five-year-olds know how to check voicemail.
Click it.
Okay. Well, that I have to admit, it's a holdover from the last phone.
Hey, I can't.
Phone was like this thing where I had to go through this process. I've never actually, no one's actually left a message for me yet on my iPhone, so I don't even know how to.
Maybe I can get MrApplePhoneShow.com to help me.
Yeah.
I am having a problem, and I can't figure out if it's me or if it's AT&T or if it's the iPhone. I recorded a greeting. It's kind of an embarrassing greeting. Let me play it for you here. Maybe I can't even play it for you.
Hi, this is Leo. You just called my brand new iPhone. Leave a message.
That's kind of embarrassing. I'd actually like to change that. But every time I press record, nothing. Oh, wait a minute. Now it's working. Never mind. You fixed it, Scott.
Yeah. Hey. I helped Shuby activate his phone.
Hi, this is Leo. Leave a message. There. Now it's got a much nicer message.
I like that first message. That was good.
That was easy. That was easy. That was too easy. Look at that. You do it right on the phone. But for a few days, it wasn't working. Maybe the AT&T network was a little sluggish with all the new users.
Now, Scott, your trick was is that you turn the iPhone off and then back on again?
To get Shuby's activated, I think what we did is we turned the phone off. We took it off the cradle. Waited a minute, turned it back on, put it back on the cradle, and that's what did it for him.
Interesting.
You know, there is a reboot procedure for it.
You can do that right through iTunes.
Oh, you can't? Oh, the restore. But, I mean, there you reboot by, what, pressing a big button?
And the top button at the same time.
And the top button at the same time. And right. I think for people who are having trouble, I've done this a couple of times, and I think it does help if you've got hung applications and stuff.
Well, I spoke with AT&T today, and they said as of today, they are unaware of, you know, hardly anybody having any more activation issues. That should be cleared up down to, you know, maybe just a few hundred people.
Oh, that's good news.
Well, and I think that we're also talking about, I mean, it was maybe 1%, 1 or 2%, but 1 or 2% of 700,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
Turned out to a lot of people, especially because they're all internet connected, so they're all complaining online.
And who can blame you? You spend $600 and you can't get the thing to come on. I'd be ticked.
Well, I was frustrated. I didn't get to use it until mine didn't activate. I was watching movies at home, but I was so frustrated with it at night because I kept on checking it like every 10 minutes going, when is this thing going to come up after our show on Friday? Right. And so then I just left it at the office. I was like, I don't want to look at it anymore. And then I'm home watching a movie. And of course, right at the very end, I check my mail and I'm told my iPhone's been activated. So now I'm at the house. And
do you know, Scott, when it's doing things like recording greetings or the voicemail, that's all done locally and then uploaded to the network? Is that how we're not really interacting with the network?
In my understanding, it's sent via packets or something. I don't know.
Okay. So you are interacting with the network then.
I that's my understanding. If you get too technical, pretty quickly you can go over my head. But I have spoken a lot with some AT&T engineers, and I think that's what I heard them say. And if you'd like me to ask, I will.
I called AT&T because I wanted to change my voice plan and stuff. They were surprisingly polite, cooperative. I got through fairly quickly, and which has not been my experience in the past. And I asked them, I said, has it been pretty busy? They said, yeah, it's been really busy. A lot of iPhone people. They said, yeah, but it hasn't. But they obviously, I mean, they hired 2,000 new employees. They obviously were prepared for this. And I called them on Monday, which would, I guess, be the worst day. Got right through.
So I do have to say, when I called Friday night trying to figure out why my phone was taking so long, and I got someone on the first ring. It was amazing.
Yeah, they really.
Yeah, some people got help and some people got screwed, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, I always said the thing I was most worried about was what was going to happen with AT&T. And frankly, the real blame doesn't fall on them, but the third-party contractor that they hired to arrange all of this activation, who, strangely enough, wanted to try to kind of keep their names out of this whole thing.
Who were they?
I've got it written down. I don't know. But it's a company that specializes in that sort of thing.
Emergency,
and I think they just,
big-time success stories.
No. This is a company. No, what I'm saying is this: they hired a third-party company to actually do the activation.
Right.
And that company is like trying to hide out. From what I understand today, and that's if you can believe the AT&T spokesman, that is that most of those issues have been solved. And based on the traffic to my site, where I was getting lots of complaints about that on Saturday, I got virtually none today.
People are working on unlocking the iPhone. Do you any predictions, anybody, on how long or if indeed they will succeed?
I think we're getting back to this whole situation where the issue you're going to constantly be getting into is that as soon as you hack it, because it's so connected, it can just be updated in a firmware and not work anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't.
I talked to my local independent guy, and I brought him the phone to show him. He said he's bummed because he doesn't want to like it because he can't sell it. He probably won't be able to sell it for a while. And he said I'm bummed because I really want to hate this thing and I can't. But he feels fairly confident. He's in touch with a number of people that it will be unlocked sooner than later. And
you can't update.
You won't be able to update it, but at least, and you won't have, obviously, if you use another carrier, things like visual voicemail, but you might get, 90% of the functionality. And I think, I still really think, and there was a good article in Slate about this. Was it Slate or Salon? Might have been Salon. I really think it would have been, Apple really should have sold an unlocked phone. They shouldn't have done a deal with anybody. I know we would lose some features, but it's a shame because it just means there's, it's a limited universe they can sell this to.
Yeah, but they're getting paid from AT&T. As far as I know, no other cell phone manufacturers ever worked a deal out like that. So you can't, lock in revenue and you're a revenue generating company.
No, it's your business to make money. I agree.
In the longer term, did you see the article that was really talking about some of how far Google's coming as far as telecommunications and so on and so forth?
Interesting. They're really moving. They just bought Grand Central.
Right.
Which is a really neat company. It's kind of follow me service. It's really the way people should be dealing with phones is through the online, where you control your, what numbers, your voicemail. And it's a Grand Central's free. And I guess now with Google acquiring them, they'll probably stay free for a while. Although now we have to worry about privacy, but that's another matter.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about that is that it really looks like Google is very close to having enough infrastructure to, if they wanted to roll out their own service, they could, they could do it.
Yep.
Whether they will or not is up in the air, but they're really that far away. And if you look at maybe Apple needed to do what it needed to do for the first, as I said, 2 years. I think that there's some way to get out of it after 2 years.
Well, that's what Scott was saying last time, is you can always get out of a contract.
Yeah. So, the thing is that if Apple's not happy with AT&T, I guess people get really into it. I admit that Verizon has better coverage, but it didn't take me any. I wasn't really even considering not just dropping them to get the iPhone.
It's probably a commoditized business at this point where they're all equally good and bad. It's probably not that much difference, really.
They all suck. It's just a matter of which one sucks the least.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Right.
There are places, though, where AT&T doesn't have a good signal.
Exactly. And fortunately, my condo is not one of them. I'm getting 5 bars, whereas before with Verizon, I was getting 2.
No, I'm getting good everywhere I've gone. Yeah.
How many does that phone guy get, Merlin?
Merlin's fast asleep.
Were you talking to me?
Let's talk about this weird thing that Merlin found, which is
carving up my corneas with a paring knife.
What? It's the story right now. You can't. It's the
Max. There's the paradigm shift is underway, and in this entire vertical, there's some very exciting movement happening in this space. It's actually, net.
I'm booting my new online Mac. Did you hear that? This is cool. Merlin uploaded this to us.
I want to know what the heck this thing is.
It's OS X Mercury, and so it's an Ajax based OS X. But obviously you can't install OS X applications.
But you can do stuff like, I think it's just a prototype. I don't know if it's hooked up to anything, but you can click on the icons and you can go surf through the drive and you can open these apps.
Somebody put a lot of effort into this.
I posted it so one of you guys could explain to me what it is. I just thought it looked cool.
But it certainly is interesting as
a proof of concept.
I'm getting some 404s all of a sudden.
Uh-oh.
I think they've exceeded their ban. It probably got dug.
Yeah,
it's not working anymore.
Well, what it was is for people who are super tuned into the Apple interface, the Mac OS X interface, it's not a perfect duplicate, but it looks a lot like the Mac interface. It's got a dock that magnifies when you roll over it. It's got applications that, open when you double click.
It's pretty cool. SE51, short for System Error 51.net.
Mm-hmm. They've got a few different interesting looking products. I guess, I'm going to look at that more. I saw it just before we did the show.
It's down now. And, I think it's actually, there's the guy's resume is in the dock. So I think it's, but I can't read it because it's now all down. But yeah. I think it's probably a project to have, you know, show off your Ajax hacking skills, which are obviously very good. But you know what? Must have gotten dug because it's.
And they have another. If memory serves, they have another product that's meant to do something with the Apple TV or with that kind of front row-ish. What's that called? What's the interface?
Front row, yeah.
Yeah, but so anyway, I'm sorry we don't have the page to look at, but yeah, cool. I'll find out more and get back. They have a press release that came out in association with this. So
it says clear all cache and cookies before re-entering. Maybe that's why I need to do that. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. Let's get to where I think we've got all the news out of the way, given that we don't want to do too much iPhone. We could do the iPhone stuff forever, but if you want more iPhone, really, there's a place to go. That's iPhoneShow.com, which has cracked the top 20 on iTunes. Congratulations,
Scott. Phone Show,
Apple Phone Show.
I'm sorry. I don't know about Apple Phone Show. I was talking about
Apple Phone Apple Phone Casting Tips.
Thank you. ApplePhoneShow.com, and yes, thank you, Leo. We're number 11 last time I checked in the overall.
Isn't that great? It's been a long time since I've had a podcast in the top 25. That's great. Congratulations. Shows the interest in iPhone, and there are other iPhone shows. It shows what a good Apple phone show it is. AppleFoneShow.com. So let's get to our picks, I think.
I got one.
All right, Scotty, you start.
And I owe this to the Shubarama. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Shiira. It's a new
Shira.
Browser.
Yeah. It's not that new. Shira. It's been around for a while, but it's very cool.
Well, new to me.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how lightweight it is, how nimble it is. I'm a Camino lover, and I'm not abandoning Camino, but I got to tell you, I got Shira sitting there right there next to it in the dock.
He's not using WebKit, I don't think. I think this is all his own thing. It's a Japanese guy. It's shiira.jp, although there is an English version at en.php, but you just click the English flag there. And small, lightweight. Oh, I'm sorry. It is based on WebKit. It is WebKit. Now that I can read the language, he says that right up the top there.
Have you played with this?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It's fast, isn't it?
Well, because it's using WebKit, it's exactly as fast as Safari.
Yeah, but Safari seems to have some overhead to it.
Well, that may be true. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't seem to have. And I found it to be, like I say, very lightweight, nimble, and free. And so I have a free pick. This is a Zero Alex pick.
A word of warning, and I don't know if this is true, but I would guess it is. If you download the new Safari 3, it probably will break Shira because Safari 3 makes some big changes to WebKit.
Oh, good to know.
So any program that relies on WebKit may or may not work after you update to Safari 3.
I had Safari 3 installed for about 40 seconds.
Yeah. It breaks a lot. It broke one password.
Everything. Yeah. It broke one password. Yeah. It broke, anyway, usual. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, man, it gave me a breathless nightmare vision of life without Saft, Safari Stand, and Pith Helmet. And I did not like the world that I saw.
Well, you know, that's the rumor is that's where they're going with Leopard. No more input manager.
I'm switching to Windows. I'll give you
analogs. I'll give you analogs for all those programs on Windows. Every single thing you could do the same thing on Windows.
Yeah, I could write something like that in .NET in a weekend.
Easy. Actually, you know, I've been playing with Kevin Rose's new thing. Kevin, Leah Culver, and Daniel Burka are doing a really cool, I don't know if you sign in yet. It's called Pounce. It's a Twitter.
I didn't get my invitation. I looked for it.
I'll send it to you again. I think it's getting spamified, but you should take a look at it. The client for it is written in Apollo, which is this new Adobe technology, Windows and Mac cross platform, and it's beautiful. And I think Air, which is the Apollo installer that you need to run. We're going to see more of that, and that may end up, you know, being an important part on Windows and Mac of cross-platform development. Have you played with it at all, Alex?
Yeah, I've actually looked at a lot of it. It's really the Flex stuff looks really really cool. The Apollo stuff looks very very. I mean, it's the way you want. Like when you look at some of the Flex examples, if you go up to the Adobe,
is Flex the language that you write in when you're doing Apollo stuff?
Flex is an application. I think it's a. Yeah, I think it's an API. I've just looked at the examples, and so I have to admit, Flex is kind of a developing. I think it's like a it's a developing environment to do stuff. It's still sitting on top of Flash, but it's the ability to put all the stuff together, sort of to have kind of that Ajax-y kind of feel when you're fairly easily to put together e-commerce sites. And when you look at them, when you look at some of the examples they have, on Adobe.com, you really see, like, oh, that's really what I'd like to see, you know, more of. The big issue, I think, is going to be how many, you know, if Apple supports Flash and how many iPhones they sell. Those are the two things. Because if they don't support Flash and they sell, you know, 5 to 10 million iPhones, it's going to be really complicated, you know, for Adobe. So if one of those two things don't happen, if they start supporting Flash and if they don't sell a lot of phones, I mean, when I say a lot, more than a million phones or whatever, which I think is unlikely.
That's next weekend.
Yeah. So,
going to have sold more Zunes in 5 days, more iPhones than Zune in 5 days.
Yeah. And so the issue you get into is that I think this is going to be a really interesting drama. Because if Apple really does just, if this starts running away like the iPod and it doesn't support Flash, you know, it's really hard to see how Flash really continues to have the ubiquity that it's had up until now. And so it'll be interesting because I think would be unfortunate only because there's so many great applications, like Flex and Apollo and all these other things that are coming out. But I think it would be very hard. I know for me as a content developer, I'd be thinking, I have to watch what's going on.
Why
before
would
I
they
really
leave know. It out? I don't understand why they didn't put Flash on the iPhone.
Well, they do make a competitor called QuickTime.
So you think but if you go to Flash, the web, nobody's using QuickTime to do, you know, I mean, nobody's doing what they're doing with Flash. So,
well, there's a lot of stuff that you could do. You know, no one's doing it because there's not a lot of applications that are available to do that stuff. Uh-huh. But QuickTime's capable of that, especially if you start mixing it with a lot of the Ajax type stuff. You know, there's a lot of things that are it's possible to do in that realm that's not being done and might be done if it was supported more from Apple. And I think that might be the thought process, you know, going on. I think that there's also issues with the Onto format, the codec itself that Flash is using, and some of the ARM chips, which is what we have in the iPhone. So there are some compatibility issues. I don't think that they're only leaving it out because just out of spite. I think that there's actually some decompression issues that are going on as well.
Well, and Scott, you actually have kind of led the charge here with your post on your onlinemediatips.com?
Right.
Asking, well, what is the next video format? You know, where do we go to have compatibility on things like the iPhone?
Right now it's H.264. I mean, that is the, and I think
that's
Apple,
the iPhone standard.
Well, it's also the Apple TV standard. It's what YouTube is converting all of their video.
Is YouTube going to for everything? I know they're doing it for the iPhone, but is that how YouTube's going to be?
They're not saying that the YouTube website's going to be all Flash, but all of the content's being converted to H.264 by the fall.
Interesting.
So you'll be able to.
So they're not tied to Flash, I guess, is the point.
Well, I mean, when you look at, there's 30,000 now available via, when you open up your Apple TV, everything playing on your Apple TV on YouTube is not Flash. That's H.264. That was converted by YouTube to be used on
the
Apple TV.
I want to lodge a complaint because Dick in the Box, the syncing is bad. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm just meaning it's not the lip syncing. They're out of sync. I wonder if the conversion, it's automated, I'm sure.
I haven't seen many of my favorites, Rat Hole. I haven't seen many of my favorites show up yet, and I'm kind of bummed.
Yeah. Well, you should be on there, for instance.
Well, I've only got 5 really old favorites that have shown up, and I wonder if I need to force some kind of update or something.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure it's all automated, and eventually they'll get everybody. Before we get to, Shira, shiira.jp, that is Scott Bourne's pick, and I agree, I concur, a really slick, sweet, fast browser for the Macintosh. But before we get to the rest of the picks, I want to remind everybody that this show, as is most of the podcast network here at Netcast Network, is being brought to you by Audible.com. The good folks at Audible have bought us lock, stock, and barrel, and I couldn't be happier about it. I didn't pay much, but I'm happy that they, I think it's a great relationship, and I'm really pleased because I've been an Audible subscriber for years. Plus, I think podcast listeners should know about Audible. Every show, we're trying to pick something fun, something interesting, something new for you to listen to. And if you are not yet an Audible member, you can get it for free by joining up at audible.com/MacBreak, audible.com/MacBreak. And this week, I think Merlin's got a book for us.
Yeah, I do. I got a book that I like a lot. I've got the Dead Tree version of it, but this is available on Audible. Leo, you strike me, actually all of you guys strike me as the tidy type. You guys strike me as the kind of people who
Scott's tidy.
Who,
I've been to
Scott's who don't live who don't live in squalor.
I live in squalor.
Well, I have the book for you. I've actually been writing a series on my 43 folders this week that you can visit at clutter.43folders.com, and it's all been inspired by this wonderful book I'm reading called It's All Too Much, and the author's name is Peter Walsh. And you may know Peter Walsh from a cable TV show called Clean Sweep, mm-hmm. where he and his team of telegenic house fixer-uppers parachute into messy houses and help people get it together. He is the organizational guy, and he has fantastic advice on how to deal with the clutter in your life and how to basically give yourself permission to cut away all of the stuff that doesn't really have a place in the life that you would like to have. And unlike other kinds of clutter tip books, I found this one very effective because it's very based around the idea of kind of dealing with the sort of emotions that keep you tied to all this junk that you keep around for no reason, and confront that straight on and then just start filling garbage cans. I love it, man.
I could use some help with that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of really good practical tips for how to deal with this stuff. I mean, a lot of it's kind of conventional wisdom along the lines of, you know, have you used this in the last 6 months or what have you? But he has a whole plan where you can go through room by room and kind of get an idea for what your vision for what that room is versus what you're actually using it for. You know, do you really want your living room to be a glorified magazine stand? Or do you want it to be a place where you have a certain kind of a life? And I think that's a really compelling approach. And I like it a lot. It's All Too Much by Peter Walsh, available on Audible.
Audible.com, audible.com/MacBreak. You do have to join up, but if you decide you don't for some reason want to keep doing it, you can quit, and there's no obligation, no charge. But
US
I think
only?
You're going to like it. You know, I'm getting conflicting reports. It may depend on the book. It may depend on something else. But some people are able to sign up overseas. I had an email from a guy in Switzerland who signed up. So just try it. But as far as I know, for most of you, it's U.S. only. And some of this is that many of these books aren't available overseas. And that's due to publisher's restrictions and something that's neither in our control nor Audible's control. And sometimes not even in the author's control, unfortunately. It's audible.com, audible.com/MacBreak. And our book of the week, It's All Too Much by Peter Walsh. We thank Audible for supporting the TwitNetcast Network. Now, let's get to... I tell you what, let's do Alex Lindsay's pick of the week.
I don't have a pick.
Okay, let's move on.
Are you so involved in your iPhone that you don't have time to have a pick for the kids? Is that how it works?
No, I'm sorry. I literally have been so busy. It's okay.
You don't have to have a pick.
And I spent like an hour before the show trying to think of something that I wanted to do a pick for, and I just couldn't.
You know how it works? The minute the show's over, you'll go, "Oh, I got one," and it'll be too late.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if you get a last minute pick, just email it to me, and we'll get Alex to put it in the show notes. Alex Gouchet, Merlin. Actually, I'll do mine, and then we'll let you wrap it up.
I have a pick.
See, look at that.
It just had to come to me.
Yeah. What's your pick?
My pick is actually, it's a little piece of hardware. And I don't know if you guys, what do you use as a USB reader?
I use a
Dell monitor.
Oh, yeah. They have all the slots, don't they?
And actually, but like with your laptop, when you're traveling.
I carry a couple of different ones with me. Some of them are off-brand ones. One is one I got on at one of those stores in New York City in Times Square.
Yeah.
And it cost me like $400.
You say $400.
Yeah, you need anything.
Sony Guts.
But it's pretty because it's got Chrome all over it.
There you go. I right before my trip, I just needed kind of a multi, because I had this, I have one of those Zoom H4s, and I've got a camera that has a different kind of memory, you know, I had all these different memory sticks. And so I had to find something that would fit into it. And Sony makes a little one. It's about $30, you know, it's $20 or $30. And it's USB 2 and it fits just about all the different car, you know, the compact flash
Sony.
I got to find the actual serial number. I think they only make one of them that's like that. But, you know, it does the smart cards and stuff like that Sony has. And
a lot of card readers, not a lot, but there are some brands that don't work well with a Mac. So it's actually good to know what one's working.
No, this one works out really, really well. Hold on one second. Let me grab it.
He's going to rush over and he's bending over now. Don't goose him. And now he's going to return. And I'm saying this so I don't have to edit this thing. And now we're waiting.
I think one of the things is that I just had a lot of these and I really hated them. You know, it's you know, I've really
well,
hated
a lot of them. I can't remember what company it is. Is it SanDisk? One of them just they, you know, half of them don't work with the Mac.
And so this one is the Sony, and I guess the model it's just called a multi-card reader writer, and it's the model MRW62E, but it does smart media, MMC, SD, compact flash or micro drive, and memory stick. And I've even put like two of them in at the same time, and they just pop up. It's like a little drive interface, and it's you know, as I said, it's USB 2, and it's been really you know, I only say that I like it just because it's just that I've gone through like five of these things, and it's just the right size. It's like a little lighter, a little bit bigger than a lighter, I guess, but a little square that just pops in with everything else, and it works really well. So anyway. That's it.
Thank you. So that is the Sony USB reader. Mine is something that is actually good for anybody, Mac, Windows. I don't know if it works on Linux, but it's something that had a bad reputation for a long time, probably deservedly so, and is now, I think, starting to become really cool, really useful. Don't yell at me, Merlin Man. It's called Plaxo.
Ah, interesting.
The new Plaxo 3 is out. And I think, you know, many of us looked at Plaxo, used Plaxo for a while. And, you know, the problem with Plaxo is when you first sign up for it, it makes it too easy to spam all your friends saying, hey, I just got Plaxo and I'd like to keep you in my contact book. Please send me your information. And by the way, if you'd like to sign up for Plaxo, and it's spammy. They know that. I've talked with the principals over there, and, you know, because I've criticized them for that. And they said, we know, you know, the problem is it's no... This stuff doesn't work unless there's critical mass. You've got to, it's the network effect. Unless all your contacts are using it, it's not good. Let me tell you what Plaxo does and what the new Plaxo 3 does that makes it really of interest to Mac users. The idea of Plaxo originally was keep your contact list up to date. Your friends sign up for Plaxo. You sign up for Plaxo. There are free and paid accounts. I actually have a paid account and have for some time. And when your friend updates their contact information, it's automatically piped into your address book. There's a little Plaxo sync tool for Mac. Works pretty well. I've had some issues in the past. They've addressed those, and I'll explain that in a second. Well, now they've added calendar syncing. They've added notes. They've added feeds. And frankly, it's an online PIM that's very impressive because once you get it synced up with your Mac, your iCal and your address book now can be synced with almost everything else, including the Yahoo calendar, Google calendar, Yahoo address book, all automatically, LinkedIn. And so suddenly it has a deduper that will automatically remove duplicates. And that was a problem in the past I've had is that sometimes it's added duplicates. And so that fixes that. But also I've had problems in the past with it accidentally erasing all of mine. They now have an automatic backup, so you never lose your contacts again. It's kind of like a system restore. It sets restore points. You can back up to all your different Macs. It supports Outlook and MSN as well, so it's great for people who use cross-platform solutions. I have to say, I'm really impressed. The online tasks, calendar, and address book are very usable, very Ajax-y, every bit as good as, say, Google Calendar or Yahoo Calendar. If you've kind of looked at Plaxo in the past and rejected it, I think Merlin, especially you, this might be time to re-examine it. This is the new Plaxo 3, which is in beta, and I think very, very interesting. Did you ever try it?
No, I have not. For you, I will look. But I have a thesis, and my thesis is that there's two kinds of people in the world. There are the kinds of people in the world like Leo Laporte who want to be able to manage these relationships with people. And there's people like Alex and me that don't want anyone to know where they live and don't want anyone to know their phone number. And I do everything to like have people not know my email address. And then I change it if people know. Yeah. And so I think part of it is that it would be kind of
disingenuous. It's great for salespeople who want to keep track of clients, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they should kill themselves, salespeople. But
somebody's got to do it.
I say that with love. No, you know, that's... I could see that being useful. My problem is what you identify, which is that I have gotten, it just seems like from some people in particular, there's certain domain names that I just bounce now.
Yep.
And right now that's one.
Because Plaxo Mail.
Yeah. Hey, I just changed from Street to Avenue. My mistake.
Well,
quick update.
You can now, by the way, opt out. They have an opt out button that you can opt out of receiving emails from Plaxo. So they'll do it for you. They understand that this was a real problem for them.
I will have another look. I'm on the Facebook, you know, and that to me was a big step. Getting on the Facebook was a big step. But I
agree. If you don't need to keep track of people, if you don't want to know where people are, what their latest address is, or so forth, it's probably
What you're describing is not only sharp, though. It's also, to back to our very much earlier point, it's also neat that the more people make stuff work together and sync and stuff like that, the more it can theoretically put pressure on Apple to make some improvements to .Mac. Well, I know that's a far-fetched point, but anybody out there who's doing stuff to make things sync with GCal and stuff like that, I'm all for it.
And the free version does that. And that's what, to me, that's the addition that I think is so significant. In fact, sure. You can forget keeping track of your contacts. You can don't even use that part of it. But the fact that now suddenly I've got this syncing capability, not just with other Macs, but with everything, including Google and Yahoo, is great. I mean, and by the way, for your iPhone users, I mean, I've been using Yahoo Mail now all of a sudden. That's important to me. So this kind of, you know, you're now back to this Yahoo environment. It's kind of, you know, I think there are reasons that you might want to do this. Now, Plaxo Premium, you could try free for 30 days, but there is a basic version that's free, and that gives you all of the sync capabilities. So I think that's worth taking a look at. You know, I've had mixed feelings about Plaxo. I know people hate it. I think that they've taken that to heart, and they're really trying to do something about it, and it's pretty good. They've got 15 million users now, which means they've got the network effect. Maybe they don't need to be so aggressive, right?
I hate the idea of someone having all my contact information and everyone.
Well, you don't have to do that. I mean, you don't have to share it at all. Nor do you have to do that connection.
I don't want it online. I mean, I just want an online company.
You don't want them to have it. I get it.
I don't want them to have it. I don't want them to be connected, see every connection that I have. That
freaks you out.
It totally freaks me out.
I'm way too dark.
That's like,
yeah, if you're, I mean, obviously you should read their privacy and statement, and they claim to be absolutely secure and private, and they have a, you know, obviously a standard. But see, I use Google. I sync with, and I've always looked for a way to get my Google Calendar to sync with iCal without a lot of trouble, and this does it. And the Google and Yahoo Calendar and Yahoo Address Book, and this does it.
Does it populate back into your iCal from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you don't need Spanning Sync or something like that.
No, this replaces that. It works.
Oh, sexy.
Works very well. And in fact, if Google adds an address book, then I'll really be happy. So anyway, it's just worth taking a look at. I understand everybody's privacy concerns and spam concerns, and I think some of people don't need this. But I've actually been very surprised. All right. Now it's Merlin's turn.
A conversation that we've been having for a long time has been around the whole idea of backup. And we keep threatening to have a show dedicated to the idea of backup. But I've had good luck, you know, getting better about backing stuff up locally. I've automated a lot of that with SuperDuper. I've got a RAID that takes care of a lot of that stuff. The missing piece for me is making sure the day-to-day stuff is still getting taken care of. Some of that is taken care of with .Mac Sync, the most overpriced service in the entire Apple
state. A gigabyte. Ooh.
Ooh, pinch me. But I like that it works between my multiple Macs. I just started using a new service that I think is really cool.
Are you going to say Mosey?
I am. Have we already done it?
No. I just discovered Mosey too. Amazing.
Is that okay? Is that all right? Is that all right to do that one?
No, I'm thrilled that you're doing it. I think this is an amazing service.
Mosey is really interesting looking. We've seen services before. I've talked before about services that are based on S3, things like Jungle Disk. That enables you
to use, though.
Sorry?
Too hard to use.
Well, there's a little bit of a ramp up for sure, and there's a little bit of you got to enter API keys and that kind of stuff. Nothing that's like a deal breaker, but stuff like that can be a little bit of a pain to set up. If I had to distill Mosey down to one sentence, it's an online backup service where you point it at stuff and it automatically backs it up for you.
It's kind of like .Mac.
What I was going to say was it's a lot like the more complex online services involving S3 combined with the otherwise ASCII backup.app,
right.
What I like about backup.app is that it lets you identify groups of stuff like this folder or these applications. And it's very easy to use, very easy interface. Mosey has a very simple little configuration panel. It'll scan through stuff. And when it's done, it says, okay, here's what we found. I found these iPhoto libraries. I found these iTunes libraries. I found these mail messages. Do you want me to back those up? And also, would you like me to add any ad hoc file and folder things of your choosing, which I've done? And it does it. It just runs. It has a free version that gives you up to 2 gigs and an unlimited version for, I think it's $4.95. That's what I bought.
A month, yeah.
And it takes a long time to upload. I found it to be about 700K uploading, which is really slow. But if you just let it run for a couple days, it'll do all your stuff.
There's a reason for that. You kind of don't want it to hog your bandwidth.
One thing it's saying, I think it's throttled. Yeah. But this Mac version of it is in beta. It's new. For those of you to whom this matters, it has 448-bit Blowfish encryption, which sounds pretty good. 128-bit SSL, typical, I guess.
That's for the Alexes who don't want to put anything personal online.
And although I have not had occasion to do any restoring, it apparently does some kind of versioning. I don't know how it's doing that. I don't know how many copies it keeps. I haven't spent more than a few days with it. But anyway, if you're looking for something that's kind of a light, easy to use, not light in functionality, but light in terms of ease of use, not terribly expensive.
This is a great idea.
Yeah. So it's $4.95 a month. It's, what would that be? Let me do a quick.
It's $60 a year.
$95. That would be one 141st of an Alex. So yeah, and I guess you're pronouncing it right. I don't know. Mozy.com is my pick for
mozy.com, and I concur. This is brilliant, because if you don't have a backup that's out of your apartment or house or office, you don't really have a backup.
That's why my RAID. I feel like my RAID is the first step. I mean,
but if there's a fire, it all goes.
No. That's what I was going to say. I feel like a RAID is only valuable if you swap it every month with another RAID that's at somebody's house.
Right. No, this is the best way to do it.
Backup is a fractal problem. You know, the more you back up, the more you need backups of your backups, and it's just not going away. So this will help take some of the pain off, and it'll all the little stuff that's really super important. Maybe your application your library, you know, application support, preferences, any of that stuff, it can back that up for you as it changes.
Berkeley Data Systems does it. I actually have been very impressed by this. I have a sponsor on the radio show that's a competitor of theirs, Carbonite, but they don't have a Mac solution. But this is a great idea, because it does it just kind of all the time in the background, and you don't have to think about it anymore. Good idea.
Yeah, I actually had to turn it off. I realized I was getting that kind of
fuzzy. You
turn
it off when you're doing this Skype. Show. Yeah. And I do that also. I disable Carbonite while I'm doing Skype. Yeah. Very good choice. All good choices. We must now decamp, because Mr. Bourne has to go. And, well, we've pretty much run out of things to say that don't have anything to do with the iPhone. So I think it's time to say goodnight, everybody. I want to thank, once again, Audible for their support, and remind you that audible.com/MacBreak is the place to go for your free audio book. And I want to tell everybody to come back next week. We'll talk more, and I'm sure there'll be even more stories that don't have to do with an iPhone. Thank you, Scott Bourne, applephoneshow.com. If you want to listen to a podcast that's all about the iPhone, Merlin Mann's show has nothing to do with the iPhone. It's at themerlinshow.com. It's themerlinshow.com, right?
That's right.
Yep. And Alex Lindsay is at the Pixel Core. It's gotten very quiet in here.
I know why. Because Alex is playing with his damn phone.
I think everybody's playing with their iPhones. Stop it with your iPhones. We'll see y'all later. Another Mac Break is broke.